Wow. That was nice. That was not true, but that was nice. I appreciate that. Well, now Slotsky's is true. Y'all will learn. As Sister Hyde has learned, food is definitely always on my agenda. So that's why we've got to leave Texas today, because Culver's has seen us too much just in the last 24 hours. So I couldn't help but think last night. I was sitting, where's Gretchen? I was sitting next to Gretchen. And Barry, in his lesson, started reading the scripture that I closed with yesterday. And before she could even say anything, I leaned over and I said, "He got that from me. I didn't get from him." But I can guarantee you that there will be no follow-up to this lesson this morning in his lesson at 11, because we're talking about two totally different things. But I cannot tell y'all how nice it has been to be here. It is such a short trip. I regret we have to leave right after lunch, and we'll have to eat quickly and go, because the drive back is so long, and we need to be back for services tomorrow evening at Forest Hill. But y'all continue to have a special place in my heart. I thank you, Karen, for leading the song. You and Phyllis both have got such a beautiful voice, and the ability that you have to lead, ladies, it is rare and almost lost. At Forest Hill, I told y'all yesterday that we're studying that book, and I try to encourage the ladies. I tried to encourage them after I finally stood up and led for the first time when we started that study. It kind of fell on me. When you're in charge of the class, it kind of would help if you also would stand up and try to lead. So I did that. And so once I did, I try to encourage the ladies to lead the songs that they are teaching. A lot of them don't. That's why we have Miss Veda on standby to lead the songs all the time. But that is an art. That is a great ability. And keep using it. And may I encourage, from whatever congregation you're from, whoever does do that at your congregation, compliment them, because you can't always find a lady who is willing to get up and lead other ladies in singing. Moving into our lesson, I have to, when I was preparing for this, one of the studies that we had while Barry and I were here at Southwest was the study of why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And everywhere I go, I always tell ladies, when we discuss topics that were discussed within the ladies' class, I always mention that y'all studied that. Because for me personally, I had that book in my library since I was baptized in 1980. And I recall as a child, my dad had given my mother's parents that book. And when my mother's parents passed away, we were there cleaning out the house, and I found that book. And it was yellow. The pages were yellow, and it cracked when I opened it, because they had never looked at it, and they died lost. And so when we studied that book here at Southwest, it was like a light bulb went off, and I was ashamed that I had not studied my book that I had been given when I was baptized. And so now when I go to other places, I do always try to encourage ladies, you know, that's a book that's just filled with fundamental information for the Christian. So I got some of my information for our lesson today out of that book, and the chapter in there on prayer is very rich in information. So I would suggest, if you have a time to go back and study that, I would suggest you do that. I think the subject of prayer, the purpose of prayer, it should be very personal to each one of us, because we should have a very personal communication with our Lord. And I started out my manuscript with some questions, but I want to just ask you these questions this morning, and just really think about this for a minute. Have you personally ever considered your life without prayer? Have you ever thought that if I couldn't pray to God, would that make you happy, or would that make you sad? I mean, I cannot imagine standing up here speaking to y'all this morning. And now I would have no right to stand up here and speak to y'all if I had not gone to my Father in prayer this morning privately and asked Him to be with me as I spoke with y'all, regardless of the topic, but especially a topic on prayer. For the true Christian, life would certainly be hopeless without an active prayer life. And the finest example, as throughout our lives in every subject that we discuss, when we discuss prayer, though, the finest example we have in the scriptures is that of Christ. The Gospels are replete with the accounts of Jesus praying to his Father, but the one that I like the most is in Mark chapter 1, where in verse 35 we read, "And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and he went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed." So if Christ, who knew no sin, if he even knew the importance of prayer, then so should we who have all sinned. Jesus is the founder of the church, and he spent much time in prayer. And so it follows that if we would be true members of his church today, we must constantly engage in prayer. Surely no prayerless person can be a follower of the one who prayed so much. The privilege of prayer, that's available to the New Testament Christians who are in a right relationship with God. We have to be in that right relationship if we're going to talk to him on a daily basis. In John 15 and verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you." It's a tragedy, ladies, if we neglect this opportunity to pray to our Father. So often we do take this privilege for granted, and it shouldn't be so. But there's something else about prayer. It's got to be a priority. It takes discipline to pray. It takes discipline to eat the right foods. It takes discipline to go to the gym and exercise. You know, you're not always in the mood when you get up in the morning. You're like, I don't feel like going to the gym, or it's raining outside, or you have a bad day with your diet or your what you're supposed to be eating, and you're just not in the mood. But with prayer, we should never be like that. We always need to be in the mood to get on our knees and pray to our Father. We've got to be consistent. We talk about disciplining our children, and that is a very popular word among disciplining our children, is being consistent. You don't do them a right service if you're not consistent with disciplining them. Well, the same can be said about prayer. It must be a daily habit. It's got to be. Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." We all know that this does not mean to pray constantly, but it does mean to pray with regularity. And then in Daniel, we read in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 about Daniel. His windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, the authentic Christian begins, ends, and fills her day in prayer to the Father. You know, we often set our alarm clocks to get up in the morning to where we can get the day going. Have you ever thought about, and I like to always give ladies a little challenge, so let me challenge you. Set your clock 15, 30 minutes earlier than what you normally get up and spend that time in prayer, because I'm telling you, ladies with children, you won't have it during the day. You will not, and you will be so tired when you go to bed at night that you will do like I have done before. You will fall asleep in your prayer. I'd go to Barry and I'd say, "Oh, Barry, I fell asleep last night in my prayer." And he being the kind person that he is, and knowing that he needed to say the right thing, he would tell me, "Well, what sweeter way to go to sleep than to be talking to your Father?" And that's great, but that's not a habit you want to start. But occasionally it does happen, because you are tired when you have 3 children, especially. And Phyllis, by the way, you can use that excuse for a long time. Just keep using it, because when I stop using it, you can stop using it, because I plan on using it for quite a while. But anyway, I challenge you, get up earlier than what you normally do and have that quiet time to pray. It will change your day. It really will. Another thing I think about are doctor's appointments. Phyllis mentioned the doctors that they suggested when we moved here. And I think that is great. That is something else that I have taken to other places and shared with other people, how that when we did come here, we were given these sheets of paper that had all these suggested places of everyday errands, where you go to run errands, restaurants and pharmacies and all that kind of stuff to familiarize people with your area. And I thought that was the greatest idea. So I share that wherever I go. When people move to the area, I I even did that for the lady who bought our house when we left here. I left her a little sheet because she had children, and I left this very same information on there. So I think y'all are to be commended for that, because that is a great practice. But anyway, back to appointments. How hard is it for you to get appointments with your doctor? We're a group of women, with your OBGYN. That can take forever, unless you're having a child, and then you get to go more than you want to. But anyway, it can be months in advance. I know, it's 2 weeks ago Sunday night, I fell. We were at a restaurant, and I fell. And I caught myself with my hand, and some of y'all noticed I had a brace on my wrist, and I've just taken it off just to where I don't have to have it up here. But I sprained my wrist, and I fell on my foot. I mean, I banged myself up bad, and Barry went out of town Monday morning. And I was like, I felt I had been run over. I called the doctor's office Monday morning. It was going to be 2 days. I thought my wrist may have been broken, and they could not see me, and there was nothing that I could do. I can't help but recall back in February, my grandmother of 89 years passed away on the 20th. It was on a Sunday evening. And I had gone over to her house, and I was up very late with my aunts and my father, and it had been a very rough night. And I had a dentist appointment Monday morning. And I thought, well, we've got the funeral and all this, and I look like I look. But I know how hard it is to get an appointment, so I'm going to go ahead and keep it. And I'm going to go. So needless to say, I didn't want to get up Monday morning, or certainly not get up and go to a doctor's office, though it was just the dentist. And I got there, and I was like, I've got an 8:30 appointment. And they looked at me like they'd never seen me before, and they knew me, so I knew something was wrong. And I was like, I've got it. And I had my little card. It was my reminder. And she said, you're not in the book. She said, your appointment, our computer must have kicked you out. We only have one dental hygienist here today, and she's already got the person going or something like that. And I was like, I'd already been crying, and believe you me, I could have stood there and cried some more. I was like, okay. I was thankful, though, as it is here in Austin, I didn't have to drive real far. Thankfully, it was right there in my hometown, so not all was lost, and I'd just soon go home anyway. And I got over it. But the point is, aren't we glad we don't have to make an appointment with God to pray to Him and to talk to Him? He's there all the time. All the time. It doesn't matter when we want to talk to Him. He's there all the time. And sometimes that is a hard concept to grasp. But moving along, though, we've got to be on guard that we don't neglect to pray to God and then turn to Him only in a crisis. Like we said yesterday, He cannot be on standby mode in our communication. That is an insult to Him to be ignored only until an emergency arises. A Puritan preacher stated that when people do not mind what God speaks to them in His Word, God doth as little mind what they say to Him in prayer. I think this popular poem, as I'm sure y'all have heard it, but I think it clearly expresses what can happen to a person if they fail to keep prayer a priority on their spiritual daily to-do list. It's entitled The Difference. I got up early one morning and I rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbling about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. And He answered, but you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I think that's very true. I think that's something we need to keep ever before us. Next thing I want to speak about is the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to communicate with our Father. Within the sacred bond of marriage, there should be a great line of communication between husband and wife. How empty my life would truly be if I could not communicate daily with my husband. It's one reason why I enjoyed the trip here so much. Barry, as I mentioned, we had our lectureships 2 weeks ago. And then the Monday after our lectureships, Barry left like at 4:30 in the morning. He leads the restoration trip for the students at the Memphis School of Preaching. He leads that trip. So he left Monday morning, didn't get back till Friday afternoon. And then we left out on Saturday. So we had a good time coming to Austin. We got caught up on our conversation in between them wanting to, the children wanting to talk to their daddy as well. But that is so precious to me. If I did not have my husband to speak to, I don't know what I'd do. One lady, she was so kind, she called in the middle of the week. Sweet lady from church. Barry recently baptized her, and she said, "I figured you probably needed some adult conversation, and I thought I'd call you." And I thought, that is so sweet, and I do. But, of course, I didn't have time to talk to her because I had three kids. So in between the screams or the demands or whatever. But anyway, but always, always communicate with your husband. But just as that communication is necessary to improve your marriage, the same is true for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. A Christian draws strength from talking to God, and those burdens are really lifted as the song sings, even though some problems are not immediately fixed, as we say, when one prays. Sins are confessed, and then they're forgiven through the marvelous avenue of prayer. Next, I'd like us to look at the pattern that needs to be followed. The model prayer is found in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, and in Luke 11. We will read Matthew's account. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 reads, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Well, today the Christian would not pray for the kingdom to come, Colossians 1 and verse 13. But this prayer still serves as a great model. We do need to pray on behalf of the church, the kingdom. But note that this is not a ritualistic formula. This prayer was simple and understandable. It only had 69 words used in it. The scope of this prayer includes man's needs, both his physical and his spiritual. And the address of this prayer was to God the Father. When praying with our little children, I think this is so appropriate. We talk about wanting visuals to use, and this is the kind of visual that I need. It's just right here. It's just your hand. It's just your hand. I'm sure y'all have heard of it. It's very practical, but I think it's a great guide to prioritize who we pray for. And I catch myself even doing it in my own personal prayer, just to where I can make sure I cover everyone that I need to pray for. Consider your hand. Your thumb is the... I don't like my hands, especially when they're clammy. So your hand, just look at your own hand. Okay, use your thumb. Use your thumb. Your thumb is the nearest to you. So you begin by praying for those who are closest to you, your loved ones, etc. Your next finger is the pointer finger. You need to pray for those who teach and instruct and heal. You always need to imagine them pointing their finger at you. That'll help you remember. That includes teachers, doctors, and ministers. They need support and they need wisdom in pointing others in the right direction. So we should always keep them in our prayers. The next finger is the tallest finger, and it reminds us of our leaders. We need to pray for the president, for the leaders in business and industry, and the administrators. They shape our nation, and they guide our public opinion, and they definitely need God's guidance. The fourth finger is our ring finger, and it's the weakest finger. I don't play the piano, so I didn't know that, but my little sheet here says that if you're a piano teacher, you would know that, so... There you go, if you don't know it. That's your tidbit for the day. But it should remind us to pray for those who are weak, those who are in trouble, because those people need your prayers day and night. You cannot pray too much for these people. And then, of course, the little finger. That reminds us to pray for ourselves. As the Bible says, the least shall be the greatest among you. Your pinky should remind you to pray for yourself. By the time you've prayed for the other four groups, your own needs are going to be put in proper perspective, and you can pray for yourself more effectively. So that's just something you can take with you wherever you go. The power of prayer is seen in answered prayers. All prayers are answered, ladies. All of them are answered in accordance to what is best for us. A child of God is relieved by knowing that God cares, and therefore they're going to leave their burden with the Lord. When you see someone, a Christian, an authentic Christian, who does not allow worry to have dominion in their life, you know that person has an active prayer life. I like this passage in Matthew 6, verses 30 through 34. It's very comforting. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, prayer alone does nothing for an alien sinner. The world so incorrectly teaches that if one will only utter the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord to come into their heart, that salvation can be his. And we know this is not true. When one reads God's word, which that's our only standard, that is our authority, there are no examples of Christ of God forgiving anyone based solely on a vocal prayer. I can't help but when I see it on television, all these Billy Graham crusades, where you've got these arenas just filled, jammed, packed with so many people, and this is what they're told to do. And they walk out of there thinking they are saved, and they're not. They're not. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22 and verse 16, he prayed, but he was miserable until he was baptized. It's only after the individual hears, believes, repents, confesses, and is baptized for the remission of their sins that their prayers are then heard or recognized. We must always pray in the accordance of God's will. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John 5:14 through 15. As praying Christians, we should never second guess the power of prayer and the effect that it will have on individuals for whom we pray. And ladies, we need to be careful that we don't try to play God like Sarah and Hagar did when they tried to help God and they took matters into their own hands. Don't ever try to play God just because you don't think your prayers or you don't feel that your prayers have been answered in the way that you thought they should be. Always remember that God knows what's best for us. There are some conditions that must be met if the prayers are going to be acceptable to God. One of the most important is that we pray in faith, because Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without it, it is impossible to please him. So we must believe that God's going to answer our prayers and give us what he's promised us. In James 1, verse 6 through 7, we read this, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Another thing we have to do is pray in our Father's name. And this just shows, as I'm reading all these scriptures, all the answers are in the Word of God. Of course, we all know that, but especially there's so much in God's Word on prayer. John 14, verses 13 through 14 reads, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do. We must pray in harmony with God's will. Even our Lord knew the importance of this condition when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just moments before his arrest, he prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And that's not always easy to do. It does take practice. It does take study to be able to truly say that. Well, as we ask for forgiveness of our own sins, we must realize that we have to have a forgiving heart towards those who sin against us. I enjoy so much the devotions that I have within the private devotions with my family at home. And now Kaysen's been praying, but now that Miranda's starting to pray, it is just so sweet to hear their prayers, the innocence that is there. After my grandmother died, they called her Gigi. And one night Miranda was saying her prayer, and we had gone to the cemetery, and she had been buried, and so she had that in her mind. I'm assuming. I'm trying to read a 3-year-old's mind, but that's what I think she had. But we had already been discussing how Gigi was up in heaven with God now. And she prayed, "Dear God," she said, "please be with Gigi as she's coming up there to you." Because that's just what she sees. She was still coming up there. She's already there to us. But to her little mind, she's on her way up there. And then Kaysen, he comes in and he'll tell us about some friend at school. There's a little boy at school that, you know, little kids can have best friends, but they're so mean sometimes to each other. But children can have such a more forgiving heart than a lot of adults can. But he came to me one day, we were walking home from school, and he said, "You know, Miller was mean to me today, Mama. He took something from me," or something like that. And it's always Miller and this other little boy at church that they don't always get along real well. And so Barry and I have learned to tell him, "Well, just pray for that person, you know." But that's what we need to do. When someone wrongs us, especially children who don't know how to ask each other to forgive them, or at least really understand the concept of forgiveness, that's what we need to teach them to do. That's what we need to do. Forgive that person who has wronged you. Because how inconsistent we are going to be if we expect our Father up in heaven to forgive us of our sins, and then we don't forgive our brother who trespasses against us. Think about it. It will make you really rethink some things. When we pray, we must have the most sincere motives in mind. We cannot talk to our Father with materialistic, power-driven motives, because those prayers are not going to be heard, as we read in James chapter 4 and verse 3. The avenue of prayer with our Father is a marvelous spiritual blessing. And it's in this avenue that we get to communicate with the one who spoke into existence all that surrounds us. That's an awesome opportunity. He created us. He redeemed us. And we can talk to him on a daily basis. And ladies, I pray that we never take that for granted, and that we always keep the line of communication with our Father open. I'd like to ask y'all to bow with me, please, at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that as a group of Christian women, we have been able to gather today to discuss your word, to discuss the precepts found therein. We pray that you will be with each of us in our daily prayer lives, that we will always turn to thee in the good and the bad, and never forget thee as you have never forgotten us. We pray that you will be with each lady that's represented here, especially the ladies here at the Southwest Congregation. For all the other ladies who are represented from other congregations, we pray that you will be with them in their travels back to their designated areas. We pray that you will always be living in our lives so that others may see you living in us. We're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for your son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much.